You know, last Tuesday, we were visiting with our good friend, the good doctor, and we were talking about reading. And I'm noting here, I've got my middle daughter, Olivia, is studying. She's almost done to be a teacher. She wants to be a teacher. I think that's a noble profession. It gets maligned, but the world wouldn't be anywhere, neither would we, without teachers. And she's going to be teaching early childhood. She's part of her thing is we try to collect for her so she can build up a collection of books. She wants to be able to put a lot of different books in front of kids at a young age. And you know what? They end up having to buy a lot of their own stuff. And that means we're doing that right now, too. It's kind of fun picking out. I see some that I remember from being a youngster. And some of those I don't go towards them. They're kind of beaten up. And I see other titles that are, you know, brand new. I've never heard of them before. I open it up and there's a whole new world. And that's what's out there for kids these days. How important is it to make sure the kids are reading and doing? I'm not talking about a state program. I'm just talking about a one-on-one, you, maybe with a child or a grandchild or a niece or nephew. Let's visit with the good doc about this very issue today. Dr. John Braccio, PhD, Regional Psychological Services, East Lansing. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Dave. And now that we know that you're the Oz man there behind the curtain.
Ignore the man. Well, don't ignore the man behind the curtain for once, okay?
Well, good. And congratulations on your daughter. I think that's wonderful. I kind of like the thing, the statement, if you can read this, thank your teacher. I think there's,
sure,
we do need a lot more encouragement for teachers.
And I'll bet you had great teachers. I had really good teachers growing up that I can remember all their names. I can remember them all.
I'll give you a shocker. My dad was 48 when I was born, and I still had a few nuns at Catholic Central in Grand Rapids that he had had. Can you imagine?
That was getting
wow, long duty out of the nuns. How does that sound?
No, that's amazing. But the fact you can remember it here, they made an impression on you, not just in what they were teaching, but in their interest in helping you achieve and get there. And maybe sometimes it was tough and it was rough because it was a different set for schooling back then and parents acted differently. And we won't go down that road, but it was important. Reading was at the core. It was always at the core.
You know, Dave, there were always expectations. My dad, I'll give you another one of my dad on teachers. He said, John, the teacher will be there long after you're gone. The choice for you is to learn or not to learn. And if you're not going to learn and be complaining and that type thing, then you're not going to do well in life. And I just remember that. And I had a lot of, mainly nuns, actually, a few priests. But they were really dedicated folks who really wanted us to learn and do the best that we could. So as I look back on that, I have nothing but good memories. There are a few I might have rather were a little different. But in human life, everybody is different. You can't find everyone you totally connect with. That's part of life. But as a whole, what a great bunch of folks those were from long ago. And I tip my hat, and I'll tip my hat to your daughter. How does that sound?
Well, even sooner. I appreciate that, and I know she would too. And she can't listen to it today because she's actually working right now. But but she'll be getting back at it in class here very, very shortly over at Michigan State University. Take it even younger, though. Reading to kids who are, I've heard people, now, some would say, this is crazy, doesn't make any sense. I've heard of people reading and talking and reading stories to children who are still in the womb. Have you ever heard of that too?
Yes, I have. I want to give you a fact, though, a factoid. Something that I ran into as I was getting ready for today that actually is shocking. Now, you don't hear me being shocked very often.
No.
But in this heart-wristling study, okay, it was a major work on, it was documenting that low-income children hear far less words than children from higher-income homes. And between 8 months and 3 years, the difference can be 30 million words. Now, think about that sometime.
Wow.
30 million words. And I think if parents realized how critical it is to read to their children, okay, what you're really doing, you're really pushing for reading literacy. You want people to like words, the jingle of words, as James Joyce used to say, the great Irish writer, want to get to the point that you want to read, you want to be around books, you want to be around the putting together words, stringing them together so they say good things, and being able to critically think through reading. And that only comes by developing your reading skills, developing your language skills. And when you, when you're around persons that are reading to you, talking to you, explaining things to you, it really enhances your ability to achieve, because many people that don't achieve in school, don't read well, they never really had a good beginning. There weren't people reading to them. There weren't people trying to talk to them, trying to think with them. And that's pretty critical. And if you get behind in life, I do believe there are learning periods, okay? There are periods to learn. If you miss those blocks and you have to go back, it's very difficult. It's kind of like then you're doing learning like a second language versus learning.
I was about to say that. Young kids who are bilingual and sometimes grow up a family where you have two languages, they pick it up like a, I mean, it's like a sponge. And when you get to be older and you take a class, oh, I'm going to take French 101, suddenly you're like, boy, this is really hard. Well, you're taking a class, but that doesn't mean you're in that optimum learning time frame again, right? You're really young.
See, that is really true. And I think when people minimize this, they don't really realize the importance of it. And when you see how many parents don't read to them, it even becomes scarier, because there are a certain number of parents that don't even read to their kids, okay? But you can take like 18% read every now and then to their infants, okay? But then you've got in the 20% some that don't read at all. So I think all of us with children, grandchildren, or people we can talk to and have some influence on, we want to encourage them to read to them. And if the person says, well, they really don't understand exactly what's being said, or is this really going to be helpful? The answer is, yes, it is helpful, and they will get to understand. The more people hear things, and the more that they can start using these words, and again, back with James Joyce, I'm a favorite writer from long ago, the jingle of words. He was a guy who liked tenors, I might add, singers, and he liked the idea of words. And being a wordsmith is a good skill, but you don't have to become a wordsmith, but you do want to become someone who can critically think. And I will give you a definition of reading literacy. It's the ability to understand reading materials in a way to pull out relevant information and be able to analyze and use it as is needed and desired for work and or leisure purposes. And in order to become that person, to be able to have reading literacy and be able to interpret, pull out ideas and understand it, you need to start early and you need to develop these skills. Those are things that you just don't one day say, well, I think I'll become a reading literacy person. You want to be able to develop the skills early, and that comes right at the beginning. So we want parents, we want grandparents, we want friends, aunts, uncles, anyone to be using words around children and using and explaining things to them to the point that they start getting.
I mean, if they're asking you, so Daddy, why does the swift brown fox jump over the fence? Good. That's a great question. Let's talk about it. I mean, aunts asking questions. I used to love when my kids would ask me, I'd turn the page and they go, wait a minute. And I'm like, no, this is excellent. This is good. I know I want to get them to bed, but this is good. They're asking me critical questions about what we're reading. And this is tremendous stuff. Dr. Seuss used to, the pictures were great, but you realize at some point when you, even as a kid, that it's the words that Dr. Seuss was using and the mixture of words that make you fall in love with words, not just the pictures.
That is really true, and I'm going to tell you an odd thing. I just threw out a name last week when I was getting ready for our session. I just began reading some things. I ran into Jane Eyre again, an amazing book by Charlotte Bronte. And if someone hasn't read that, that is a great book to read about poor Jane, her experiences with the old tyrant Edward Rochester, and all the things that happened. It's a tour de force of thinking, of feeling. It has femininity and it has masculinity. It has all the hallmarks of a great work because it's as relevant today. You can pull out of it relevant thoughts and ideas, and there's so much, such a treasure house of things from the past. We want to live in the present. We want to learn things, but I'm afraid too often in the current educational arena, there's some idea that we just focus on what's going on now in the last 20 years and don't realize the treasures of words and thoughts from the past. And that just happened to be a book. Oddly, I hadn't read in a long time that can bring tears to your eyes. It can make you angry. It can do all kinds of things. And when something that comes from the 1840s and still can be interesting, that is a classic. And there are many like that. That just happened to be one I happened to just run into when we were talking about reading, and I was just tinkering and looking at things that were worth reading to talk about when we were speaking. So we at all ends of our life, we want to be finding things we can learn, that we can enjoy. But for today, we're talking about those little kids, even before they're born, a few months old.
So I don't recommend Jane Eyre for them at reading time. Stick with Horton Hears a Who or Fox and Socks, and they'll have a blast.
I was simply giving an example.
Yeah, you betcha.
As we read, as we live.
And
but
you
clearly,
did,
with
yeah.
little people, let's use words, let's put them together, let's get the jingle of words to the point people really, really love them.
Dr. John Braccio, DrJohnB.com. That's the website. Podcast will be up there shortly. Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing. The joy of reading and reading to young children and giving them the gift, because that is the gift that will keep on giving way before they get to school. That is an absolute fact. Always great to have you on, my friend.
Listen, same with you. I'll see you later, buddy.
Coming Bye-bye. Back. Morning wake up. Yeah, it's good advice, too. They're absolutely. And foster that. 1320 WILS.